Okay, so we're trying to figure out this crest. So basically, they have within the Shita of Rav and Shmuel. I try to simplify things. Within Rav and Shmuel, Tosfos is basically saying, right? Tosfos is basically saying that in the time when they entered Eretz Yisrael, right? Time when they entered Eretz Yisrael, that time, if they did, they were, they didn't have enough, they didn't have any Omer to bring, so they weren't going to bring the Omer. Tosfos is saying that according to them, it should be mutter, it should be yasser until the whole day, it should be yasser the whole day. Right? It should be yasser the whole day. Right? Not, it should be different, basically, than Bizman HaZeh. Rav and Shmuel clearly hold Bizman HaZeh when there's no Mikdash. Right? There's no Mikdash. It's mutter in the morning. But the Gemara, Tosfos, is claiming that's Bizman HaZeh. But in the time when the base of Mikdash it was around, when they entered Eretz Yisrael, there was a Mishkan, and they just practically weren't going to be able to bring the Karban. So then, the Matir was still the Havas Omer, in which case it would be Asr all day until nightfall, right? At least until nightfall, right? Right. It would be Asr all day. Tosfos says that. Right. So that's the way Tosfos is learning the position of Rav and Shmuel. And we're explaining that very nicely. Because we're saying that there's two different Matirs. Two different matirs. And when there's a chovas omer, there's a chovah bring the omer. So then the matir is the omer. When there's bizman hazeh, since Rav and Shmuel hold lo kidshel aslavo, there's no chovah of the omer. There's no institution of the omer. So therefore, there's a secondary matir, which is the heyariyom morning. But that's only bizman hazeh where there is no chovas omer. But in the time of the mikdash, there was a chovas omer. It just said practically they weren't going to bring it. So therefore, there's only one matir. The matir is the bringing of the carbon. Now, if they don't bring the carbon, it's asr right when the day ends because the whole isr matir svara. So therefore, it's going to be asr the whole day. Then it's going to resort to, like, according to Rav Yehuda. Basically, there's only one matir of, Right, it's like according to Rav Yehuda. Right, but he holds that even as man as that. Right, but because he holds, there's always a chovas omer. He holds the chovas lava, we're saying. Right? Fine. So that's fine. According to the way we're explaining it, it's fine. But we have to posit, the one problem with what we're saying is we have to posit that Rav and Shmuel hold the chovas lava. Because if he held the chovas lava, then nowadays you'd say there's still a chovas of the omer, still a chovas of the omer, so then the matir would only be the chovas omer, and then she has the whole day. So that's the only problem which we have to say. Right? But on the other hand, although we have to do that, Tosfos is clearly distinguishing within Rav and Shmuel between Bizman HaZeh, where there's a secondary matir of Hayim Mizrach, and Bizman HaBayis, where they practically couldn't bring the Omer, in which case you don't say the secondary matir. So what is the difference? In both cases, you could argue, look, you're chayiv to bring it, but you can't. That if you learn, he holds kidshel aslavo. So in both cases, you're chayiv to bring it. You can't. Then you couldn't because there was no grain, there was no omer. Now you can because there's no mikdash, right? So, but Tosfos is distinguishing because Tosfos is openly saying that according to Rav and Shmuel, it would be also the whole day then. But nowadays it's mutter in the morning. So what's the difference? If you hold there's sechovas omer both, so it seemed pretty clear that Tosfos is learning. Oh, no, there's a chova then. There's no chova now. Right? If Rav and Shmuel is kitchel aslavo, it's a chova nowadays. So then what really is the difference? Whether the reason why you're not doing it is because there's no mikdash, or the reason why you're not doing it is because there's no omer. Either way, the matir should be the avos omer, it should be also until the end of the day. So I think it's pretty, Tosfos is supporting what we're saying. Or we're learning like Tosfos. But the Grizz doesn't like Tosfos. Okay? The Grizz thinks Tosfos is difficult. And he attacks Tosfos because of his problem. Okay? But that's what we're doing. So the only thing you could say is, you could not like saying it's totally a universal question. Like that, But You see, Reb Chaim does a move like that. So apparently, Reb Chaim, well, this is a kind of question, which is an open question, it's a pending question. It's going to have nafkaminas vis-a-vis all different types of areas. And he even does it vis-a-vis the Omer, Reb Chaim. So it's not like the Omer is clearly one of the questions which swings with this universal question. And the Rav is willing to, and it does affect things, it affects halachos. And the Reb Chaim is willing to say it over there. Now, we don't see why he has to say it, but he certainly, whether the particular is, the point is he's willing to say that there is a universal question, which is nafkaminas and affects these other areas. And he holds it applies to the Omer. Okay. Now the Grizz has a different starting point. It seems like the Grizz's starting point is that Kishilaslava. I don't know why, but that's the starting point. Okay? Kishilaslava. According to Rav and Shmuel, Kishilaslava. Maybe he has a fact. I don't know. He doesn't quote it. Maybe there's a fact somewhere in Shas which says, according to Rav and Shmuel, Kishilaslava. I happened to find, actually, a source. There is a source which I know of that, and I did this again a little bit, which says that Shmuel does hold Kishilaslava. But Hearns definitely doesn't want to say, right, he's not necessarily saying Shmuel holds that, but he doesn't want to say that it's telling that. So he wants to explain Rav and Shmuel, assuming they could go either way. Right? Right. He doesn't want to do what Rav Chaim does. Right. He doesn't want to do what Rav Chaim does to limit Amemar's having to learn one way and Abaye's having to learn the other way. He doesn't want to do that. So he wants to basically be able to explain Rav and Shmuel, assuming Kishilaslava. Right. Okay. Okay, so now how does he do it? So let's take that as a given. So take it as a given, that's his given. That's his assumption. And let's see what happens with it. Look, we'd also love to do it. Right? It would be nice if we could explain it that way. But so let's see what happens. So he takes that as a given. So for purposes, I hear your point, Matt, but for the purposes of this going further, let's assume Rav and Shmuel hold that. Okay? And let's see what he deduces. Right? Okay. So if he do hold it, so then it turns out right now there's a Chovah Omer. Right? Right now there's a Chovah Omer. And in the time of the end of the Eretz Yisrael, there's also a Chovah Omer. And right now there's a Kedush and Mikdash. And then there's also a Kedush and Mikdash. And they're identical. So according to Rav and Shmuel, if there's a Chovah of the Omer right now, so how could you explain why there's a different matir? Why is the matir the fact that you're planning that it's the morning? Why don't you say the matir is the Omer? You have to bring the Omer after all. We're supposed to be bringing the Omer. So why should the matir be the morning? Right? How do you explain that? So the Grizz is saying, because since you're not going to bring it, right? Since you're not going to bring it, so now there's a secondary matir. If you're not going to bring the Omer, then the Omer's not the Matir, and there's a secondary Matir of Hayim Mizrach. So if that's right, that's what you have to say. Because there's Chayim in the Omer, but yet there's a secondary Matir. So how does the secondary Matir kick in? Because you're not planning on bringing the Omer. You can't bring it, there's a mosque there, whatever, you're not going to do it. Right? So if that's the case, when the Jews who entered Eretz Yisrael, also they're not going to bring the Omer. And therefore, it should be mutter in the morning. Right? But Tosus holds it isn't. Tosus holding going to Rav and Shmuel. In that case, it would be mutter, it would be Asar all day. So he says it's a contradiction. It's a kasha on Tosus. And therefore, he asks, he leaves Tosus as a kasha. Right? He leaves Tosus as a kasha. Based on his assumption, he's basically arguing on Tosus. Right? What he's saying is the only way, since they look at Shalashalava, or since you want to entertain that, the only way to explain Rav Shmuel is that even though you're chayiv, if you're not going to bring it, then there's a secondary matir. So then he says, what's the difference between these two cases? Right? And therefore, he asks it as a kasha on Tosos. That's basically how the Grizz goes. Okay, now we have to analyze it. Let's just get the fact, just to back up, so get the cheshbon clear. The Gemara of the Ben Rosh Hashanah is saying is they didn't wait until the end of the day. They ate the thing in the middle of the day, when they brought the carbon. Or were they in the middle of the day? Well, how did they bring in the middle of the day? It must be, the Rosh Hashanah says, it must be they brought the Omer, brought the carbon. Well, how do you know they brought the carbon? Because if they didn't bring the carbon, they would have had to wait till at night. That's what the Gemara is saying. And Tosfos says that's not Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Implying is, but it could be Rav and Shmuel. So apparently he's saying, according to Rav and Shmuel, that's the case. That in that time, the thing really would have been us all day long. And the Grizz is saying, what do you mean? If it's mutter nowadays, because they're not going to bring it first thing in the morning, then in that time also it should have been matir the first thing in the morning because they're not going to bring it. What's the difference? Either way, you're not going to bring it. Right? That's how the grizz is going. That's a good point. Matt's saying a good point is that, first of all, the grizz is forcing, making a force in the reading of the Gemara. Because the Gemara says it's Tali Mzashreish Kayim based on Eimrish Kayim, which sounds like whether there's Mikdash or not Mikdash, which is what we're learning, right? Because no Kedush Mikdash is Kedush Mikdash. But what he's saying is, no, what they mean Eimrish Kayim doesn't mean there's no Mikdash, but it means they're not going to bring the Omer. In which case, if you know, if there is a Mikdash, if there's a reason why they're not going to bring the Omer, like there's no Tevuah, then also it's considered Ein Beis Mikdash Kayim. So he's forcing that into Rav and Shmuel, that they don't mean it. They don't mean Ein Beis Mikdash Kayim, but they mean you're not going to bring the Omer. It's a way of referencing it. So it's a little bit of a force. I hear that. I mean, look, it's not crazy. You know, so that's what it means, because when there's a Mikdash, the Omer is Matir. When there's no Mikdash, then and you're not bringing the Omer, then it's a warning. But it's just the way it's referencing, you don't bring the Omer, you know, there's no Mikdash, because that's generally, except for that one year, that's generally the way it's going to work. But you're right, I mean, why say that? Why say it that way? Right, that's true, okay? Let's say besides that, putting that problem, the practical, the learning, you know, the reading problem aside, what do you think about the Svara of the Grizz? That's what bothers me, what Matt says what bothers me about the Grizz of Svara, is that he's saying is the Omer is the Matir. And you're chayiv to bring the Omer, and the Omer is a matir. But if you're not going to do it, so then there's a secondary matir. What does that mean, you're not going to do it? You're chayiv to do it. Right? So what does it mean? Now the morning comes, and I say, listen, I'm telling you, I really mean it, I'm not going to do it. Now there's a secondary matir which kicks in. Like, how is that recognized? You know, like, there's a secondary matir because, like, why are we not going to do it nowadays? We could do it, we're chayiv to do it, but we're not gonna. There's a mosque there, we're not gonna. But I mean, we could. If you're right, I mean, that's what we'll do. We should, we could. But we're not gonna. So we're not gonna, so now it turns out that it's, he has to force that also, because Manche Ein Beis Mishkayim also, what do you mean? If it's Ein Beis Mishkayim, if we bring it, then it's gonna be that much meme out there. So it's like contingent upon whether we decide to not do it or to do it. Like, how does that, and that's determined first thing in the morning? Like, let's say we change our mind. We're not going to do it in the morning. We wake up and say, nah, we're not going to do it this year. And then we change our mind. Then it's going to change. You know, like, how exactly does it work? Like, I understand saying once the Omer is gone, if the Omer, the Matir, is if you don't do the Omer, then there's a Matir afterwards. That would be one thing. But he's saying is that if you're not planning on doing the Omer, then there's a secondary Matir. I mean, you're chayiv to do it, and that's the Matir. If that's the matir, then you have to do it. Unless you'll say, see, that's what we said, is that no, it's not just you're not gonna, there's no institution of the Omer. We said it's lokish lasalav, but therefore there is no Omer, there's no din Omer. So now you'll say it's a secondary matir, because there simply is no din Omer. So that's one thing, but if you're saying there is a din Omer, there is a chovas Omer, it's just that you're not gonna do it, seems, I don't see how that's a halakhically recognized thing, such that it's gonna create a secondary matir. Now, I would think he's going to say, the Grizz is going to have to say, it means there's like an onus. It's not just like, you can't just wake up in the morning and decide, you know, we're not going to bring it this year. Because you have to do it. But it's like there's an objectified onus. Like, there's no tevuah, because it's all goyish tevuah. Or, I don't know, I guess nowadays there's a mosque and we can't do it. I don't really know exactly why it's an onus nowadays. I mean, if you could do it, you could do it. But, you know, it would seem you're going to have to say something like that. But, I mean, even if it's an honest, still, is that recognized as, like, we're not going the Omer's the Matir. And now until maybe the basement is going to be rebuilt halfway through the day and we'll be able to do it. I mean, what do you mean we're not going to? How is it Mutter in the morning? Because we're not going to, we have a something preventing us from doing it. But we're chayev to do it. The chayev, the honest doesn't remove the chayev. So chayev to do it. So therefore that should be the Matir. It's just so hard to me to understand. If you say there is no din Omer, that's why we said this. How could there be, if there's a chovas Omer, how could there be a secondary matir? So therefore we said it must be, there is no chovas Omer. So there's no din Omer altogether nowadays. So what do you mean the Omer is the matir? There's no Omer? What Omer? There's no such thing as Omer nowadays. Oh, so then you have to say it's the Machoras HaShabbos. It's the date. That's the secondary matir. But if there is a chovas Omer, it's Kutchala Sidlavo, then what's the halachic reality of when you're not going to do it? Right? So, and that's why we went so far as to say it must be Hildes Lokesh Lost Lava. Because otherwise, how could you have a split matir? We just don't like that svara. We didn't like that svara to say that if you're not planning on doing it, then the matir preempts. Hell, what kicks that off? What does that? What halachically recognized such that it kicks off that earlier matir? So, and it's not only that it seems to be a hard svara. Tosfos clearly doesn't hold by that svara, and the Grizz is asking a kasha on Tosfos. You know what I mean? It's not just that, like, the Grizz is saying a svara. He's really asking a kasha on Tosfos. That it must be, this is what you're learning. How could he learn Rav and Shmuel? It must be that you're learning this. That it must be, it's because you're not going to bring it. Nowadays, and since you're not going to bring it, therefore the Matthew is here in Mitzvah. Oh, so according to you, Tosfos, why don't you say the same thing back in the day? That is kasha on Tosfos. So it's not just that he's saying a svara to try to explain something, he's using this to take on Tosfos. Because, I guess, he's not willing to say, for some reason, which, you know, I kind of hear, sympathize with his reason, that he doesn't want to say, he doesn't want to limit them to holding Lokech Lasalava. But he himself does bring down Rav Chaim, who does that by Ravana Meimar, right? By Meimar and Abaye, that being the question. So I don't really hear his svara, you know? I don't really hear that svara altogether, you know? How it works. I just don't hear it. Now, if he has a fact that you can't hold, you know, that Rav and Shmuel don't hold that way, then I still don't hear his svara, but he doesn't really have a choice, you know? Then, I don't know, maybe I try to hear it better. I mean, I tried, but, you know, I guess then he's right, and there must be some svara like that. But given that I don't see a fact like that, and I see precedents in Rav Chaim that you have a, you know, you can do such a thing, it seems to me like this is a smoother way to learn. And here, the sugi really points you in that direction of the Lokesh Lost Lava. Whereas in the sugi by Savira, I don't really see the sugi pointing you in that direction. So it kind of comes out funny. Kind of funny that the way we're learning is that by the Sefira Rav Chaim pulls the sixth move and says it's Talei Na Machlokes. We don't really see why he's doing that, why it's not an easier way to learn the sugya. But over here, the Grizz is not willing to do that. We're doing it, but the Grizz is not willing to do that, and because he's not willing to do that, he leaves it as an open kasha on Tosfos. You know? So, that's the way I see things. You know, it's kind of interesting. It's interesting, you know. I mean, I have to say, I don't really understand the Rafayim. And nor do I really understand the Grizz here. I mean, yeah, at least, you know, I hear where the Grizz is coming from here, at least. I hear you're not wanting to say that. But I don't hear as far. And it seems like the Rafayim doesn't really hear our far. So. Okay, so we have one more day. Tomorrow night, giving Thursday, I'm going to give. I have one more thing I'd like to do, which is... did a Rav Chaim and a Grizz. Now I'd like to do a Rav. Okay? So, there's a really interesting problem. There's a piece in the Rav that takes it up. And I think it's a very important point. I don't have that much to add to the Rav. I mean, the Rav is really nice. But there's an interesting... I think it's a fundamental part of this whole sugya. It would be a shame to do the sugya without, you know, doing it anyways. At least if the Rav is right. So, I'll read you the problem. I'll read you the facts upon which the problem is based. See if you get to notice the problem. Okay, so it's a Torah. It's a Torah who brings down the Rosh. It's a Rosh and a Tshuva. The question is, now it's a Psach question, is do you have to, if you just find Tvua after Pesach, do you have to assume maybe this stuff is stuff which is Aser? Now, let's say you find Tvua after Pesach. Let's say you're in Eretz Yisrael, whatever. If you find Tvua, it's 2 weeks after Pesach, you buy Tvua in the store. Right? So you say... maybe the thing is Aser. I don't know when the thing... by the way, what determines is when it took root, right? So I don't know whether it took root. Maybe it took root after the Omer. And if it took root after the Omer, right, so then the thing's really going to be Aser. True? Because there's no Matir until next year. So the question is how do you ever buy Tvua? Why do you always have to worry about that? It's just suffix, unless how do you know? I mean, you buy Tvua in the store, what do you know? Right? Before Echad, right? Fine. So what do you do? So he says like this. So the Rosh says, this is from the Torah in Reish Sadi Gimel. He says, "V'adai b'chol hashanim ein lachush misafek ala tvua la osra." He says, in every year, Stam, you don't have to worry about a suffix to answer el tvoa. Okay? What's the tvoa? Shema, why? Shema lo nisha shakodam. You don't have to make a you don't have to answer it because you'll say maybe it wasn't didn't take root before Pesach. There's some chinah in aruba shenishur shakodim lomer because you can rely on the rov. Most tvoa really is takes root before, and that's the planting season, right? So you have no reason to believe. You don't have to say maybe this produce took root afterwards. Why would I think that? Rov and then take root before. Okay, so that's fine. The ode to sveik-sveika. It's a sveik-sveika. Okay, what's a sveik-sveika? So a sveik-sveika is a double suffix. Okay, a suffix on a suffix. A double suffix is on lachaz yigolakula. Okay, so we'll see. This will get us into sveik-sveika again. So this is a very important principle. It's a sveik-sveika. Shema hi mitvua shana she'avra. Maybe, first of all, it's from last year's tvua. And what's halacha if it's from last year's tvua? Then it's definitely mutter, because this one last year already underwent heter l'omer. Right? It underwent tvua, this omer definitely is mutter. And even if it's from this year's tvua, shema nisha shel bnei omer. Maybe it took root before the omer. Okay? In other words, let's say this year is the 2012 planting season, right? So you forget something in 2012 after Pesach. I'll say, look, maybe this tevua is really from 2011 or 2010 or whatever. And even if it is from 2012, maybe it took root before Pesach. So it's a sveik sveika. So therefore, he says, you have a right to be mekel because it's a double suffix. That is the kasha, is open. That's not two sveikas, that's one suffix. It's one suffix. Is maybe it took root before Pesach 2012, maybe it took root after Pesach 2012. What's the difference if it took root in the March 2012 or in June 2011? I mean, whatever. The point is that maybe it underwent a Matir of the Omer, or maybe it didn't undergo a Matir of the Omer. Right? What's the difference? Maybe it took root before this year's Omer, maybe it took root after this year's Omer. That's all that matters. So how does the Rosh break it up and say, first of all, maybe it's last year's? Maybe it's 2011, 2010, some other year. Or maybe it's this year. And even if you say it's from this year, who cares? Maybe it took root before Pesach. That's the exact same thing. It's one suffix. Right? So it's an open kasha. The Rav brings it down as a Rikiv Eger asks the kasha. But so in the name of someone else, it's an open problem. You read the Rosh, you don't get it. Right? It's openly not unintelligible. And there's a case which he has. I don't know exact details of the case, but there's a whole case of a woman who has bia or something. There's a Gemara. The Gemara supports it, but the Gemara basically—I forgot the nachmi of the case. It says she had bia or something, so she loses her ksuba maybe something. So it says Gemara says maybe she was raped, and even if you tries to do a sveik-sveika, it says look maybe she was raped, and even if she wasn't raped, it was consensual. Maybe she was a katana. When it was consensual. And the halacha is that a katana is consensual, is considered like rape. Okay, so it's trying to say, sveik sveika. Maybe it was rape, and even if it wasn't rape, maybe she was a katana. But the Gemara says, no, that's not a sveik sveika, because it's one shame onus. Gemara says, shame onus charu. Is that's only really one suffix? Because he's saying, maybe it was rape, maybe it wasn't. Because a katana is just, the halacha is, it's considered like onus. So what's the difference? Practically speaking, there are two different scenarios. One is it was rape, one is it was a katana. But halachically, it's the same shame that you're trying to get her out of it from is because it's an onus. So same thing here. Practically, there's two scenarios. Tvua 2011 or Tvua early 2012. But either way, it's the same exact topic. The shame is Tvua Kodim of the Omer. Tvua which underwent the Heter of the Omer. So how do you consider this a Sveik Sveik? Right? That's basically the problem. Serious problem. By the way, we're doing the piece here. It's in Harei Kadam. It's in volume 2. It's Simen Kuf Dalet. Simen Kuf Dalet, at least in the older version of Harei Kadam. I don't know, maybe in the new one it changed. Kuf Dalet, yeah. 104. It's called Bisod Heter HaOmer. Okay, Heter of the Omer. So he brings down, by the way, he says this kasha, Rabbi Kiva asked this kasha, but he says the kasha was asked also, Kiva Eger answers it in the name of the Chuvas Mutzel Me'esh. And the Rav says the Krasi and Placey, and the Chavas Das also asked the same kasha. It's open kasha. I mean, you just read the Rosh. You know, when I read it to you, you didn't even get it. It's just like you don't even follow pshat. But you follow not following pshat is really a kasha. It's not just you're not following pshat, you are following pshat. It's just a kasha. Okay? So, so he says like this. So he brings down the Gemara in Menachos Samach Tasma Beis. Okay? Menachos Samach Tasma Beis. So the Gemara has, it's Ba'ir of Shimon ben Pazi. Okay? It's like halfway down the page. Okay? So it says, Shibolas Sheviya Shalesh Kodamomer. So if he has like a stalk or a shoot, something, some sort of a grain which grows, brings forth a third before the Omer. Samach Tasma Beis Menachos. Yes, I'm a base. Okay? It's Shibolas is the last word on the line, halfway down. Okay, so Shibolas, that basically is a third of the way ripened before the Omer. Before the Omer. The Akra Vishasla Lachar Omer. So then you uproot it. And then basically, I guess the Omer is going to matir. Right? Then you replant it after the Omer. Yosifu. And now it grows more. Mahu, what's the din? Basar Ikar Azlin. So you basically know you had a matir on the Ikar, the root of the thing. But then it now grew afterwards after the Omer. So Basar Ikar Azlin on Vishari Omer. Do you say you go by the essence of the thing, the root of the thing, in which case the Omer was matir? Dilma, Basar Tosefes Azlin on. Or do you go by the addition? You say the addition is separate. Ve'ad Sheyavo Omer Haba. And it's not mutter until you bring next year's Omer. Right? Seems like a natural question, right? What's the one thing which is funny about the question? Okay. So the question that's funny is, what does it do with shlesh? The saying is, you plant it and it grows a third before the Omer. What does it do with growing a third? Because we know the point, when is the Omer matir things? What point in its growth does it have to be for the Omer to be matir? Right? So if you recall, it just once it takes root. Takes root is not a third of the growth. A third of the growth is already further along in the development. Okay? But the Omer is matir, everything which takes root from beforehand. Right? So why is the case of the Gemara specifically asking if it grew a third already? So Rashi explains it. He says, Shaviyah Shlesh. L'hachi nakat Shlesh. It's the second wide line. Second skinny line. This is why it says Shlesh. The Choshev Gemara Pri. Because that's considered the conclusion of the Pri. It's defined as a Pri once it's Shaviyah Shlesh. Okay? That's the general idea. A third growth is defined as a pre. That's a universal thing. It's chayv and maestros at that point. A third is a pre. The imi kamehachi, because akra, because if you uprooted prior to that point, have a kashachas ba'alma. It's like, I don't know exactly what shachas means, but it's like nothing. It's like waste. It's not yet a pre. But lo mahani omer lamashariya. But then the omer won't be materet. So then the omer won't be materet. And therefore, once you plant it on the ground, so then, of course, we'll be asar. You can't have the whole question. The whole question is assuming that the Omer is already matir, the Iker. Right? The problem is that it's just not true. Rashi is not true. It's not true that the Omer is only matir, stuff which grows a third. Because, let's say, I plant a crop before the Omer, and it takes root before the Omer, then it's matir. And that's it. After the Omer, it's going to be mutter. I could eat it. Even if it grows a third, it grows whatever. It's mutter. It's just not, Rashi says, lo mahani Omer lama lama shiria, but it's simply not true. It's what goes by tfuah, which is mushrash, before the Omer, is mutter. Okay, that's the shir. The shir is, goes by ashrasha, it goes by when it takes root. And that's basically the Rav's kasha. This is an open problem on Rashi. What do you mean? It goes by when it takes root. Yeah, that's a problem. That's the way the Rav asks. There Rashi Tzarech Bir the Gamanish Shakodim Lomer Chayilov Heter Omer. It's definitely a fact is that if you plant something before the Omer, it takes root, then I'm allowed to eat the thing after the Omer when it grows right away after it brings a third, is mutter. The thing is never going to be asur as chadash. You don't say, I have to now wait to eat it until 2 years around, until next year's chadash, until next year's omer. So even if you'll say that there's no isur chadash until the omer, until it grows a third, but it's fine. But bottom line is that if it underwent the first omer, if it took root before the omer, then it's never going to be asur, and there's no isur of chadash. So it sounds like the omer is matir. It's matir even if something once it takes root. So that's just a fact. So he's saying his Rashi, it just sounds like it's against the fact. That's the Rav Skasha. Right? So the Rav thinks this is related to answering the Sveik-Sveika problem in the Rash. I mean, I'll tell you, when I did this sugya, so I kind of we skimmed through the Rambam just to get some background, and we saw this case in the Rambam. The Rambam leaves it; it's like anybody, the Gemara never resolves it, and he just sleeps, you know. So when I did it, we skipped these parts. And we didn't do the whole sugya thoroughly, but we just ignored it because it sounds like such a parenthetical question. Do you go by the Ikur? Do you go by the, you know, the Rash? Whatever. It just doesn't sound like a fundamental question, right? But you'll see from here the Rav pulls out a whole fundamental idea about the Omer, and he answers the Sveik-Sveika problem. So I mean, you'll see. I mean, that's why the Rebbe quoted once. That's why Bikias is important. That's a Rashi. It says you never Bikias is important because you never know Mehechan Yetzeh Hasod. Where's the foundational idea going to emerge from? You don't know. Sometimes it comes from some random thing. So the more facts you know the fact in an area, you could, you know, sometimes you get your clues from funny places, right? It's like in science also. I mean, the main core of an idea could come from some random, clue, which is emerges from some funny experiment that, you know, you never know. How would you know that? You don't know, you know, these things are funny sometimes. So, I don't know, it seems to me this is an interesting example of it. Like, when I looked at the sugya, I totally skipped this part. I mean, again, I didn't do the sugya 100% fully, thoroughly, but it certainly seemed like, I don't do that. I'll skip that case. It looked complicated. It looked totally extraneous. So I'd go Yubaya. One of those Yubayas and Mars never resolve. You think, what's important than that? But you'll see. I mean, I'll give you a little preview, but you'll see how the Rav basically from this point, right, on the surface, does that have anything to do with the Sveik-Sveika? Not really. I mean, sort of. It's about the same thing, but everything's about the same thing, you know? But I mean, so we'll see. As I'd like to do next time on Thursday is to go through his answer and try to explain it. You know, I mean, I don't think I have much to say, but elucidate what the Rav is saying. But it's interesting. It's a good problem. I mean, the Sveik-Sveika problem is a beautiful problem. I mean, he just the Rosh. You just read it. It sounds crazy, right? But obviously, the Rosh realizes it sounds crazy. He has an idea there, you know. And this Rashi is also, you know. Rashi is harder because you're not that confident that about you. You know that much about the, you know. But so you can read through the piece, and hopefully we'll go through it on Thursday. Okay.